talking about this experience.
They're probably all of them.
All right. Well, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to our Foundations of Faith class. I've asked Cameron if you would say your prayer. I always like to start a class with a prayer, so if you would, bow with us.
All right. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and all that you have provided for us. Please help us to spend this opportunity to learn more and build upon our foundation for our faith, and help us to learn how to help others with their foundations. And thank you for the blessings that you've given us to have these teachers prepare the lessons for us. And please help us to learn something from them. In your son's name, amen. Amen.
All right, so as we went around the room and we introduced ourselves, I asked each of you one question. It seemed like an odd question. I asked you, at what age were you baptized? And when I did the averages, it came out to 12, and I actually think it was 12.3. Okay, so what's my point? Well, my point here is that most of us came to some type of faith at a very young age. And there are some advantages to that. Can you think of any advantages to obeying at an early age? Well, we have our tender hearts. The world hasn't gotten to us yet. We aren't callous. There is a pure innocence about us. Remember when you were 11, 12? And there was just something about that age. It's a pure innocence. It's genuine. Young hearts are accepting. You know, young hearts just learn better, don't they? You know, when I went through education, I told you guys I was an education major. I was trying to pick what ages do I want. Man, I really wanted that group because the high school kids, they kind of weren't as easy to teach. Usually at this age, you have a peer group around you. If you grew up in the church, you usually had some kind of peer group around you. So there's usually lots of kids. And it's kind of one of those deals, and this is why we're in this class. Remember when you went away to Camp Tennessee or church camp, wherever that may have been, or in your classes, you started out with a lot of kids, then they got fewer. Well, at that age group, there's usually a lot of kids. And Cameron and I were just talking about this. The guy was in his class when he first started in about first grade, somewhere between 6 and 8 guys. And I think you said it's down to 2. Yep. And that's a trend we see. That's why we're in this class studying. And then I kind of threw this one in here. There's an advantage built into obeying at a young age. You've got a lot longer time to serve. What are some of the disadvantages of obeying at a young age? Any of you heard of anybody that may have believed only to please their parents? What's going to happen to that? It's probably not going to last, is it? Now, I'm going to tell you about myself. Yes, I believed, and I believed at a young age. I probably partially fell into that category. Because my mom and dad were members of the church. So were my grandma and grandpa on both sides. All of my aunts and uncles that I knew, but one or two, I think, were. And there was just this certain expectation at a certain age, and you started feeling that. And I may have fallen into that to some degree. And don't get me wrong, I believed what I needed to believe. But there was a time, and it happened to be at your age, that all of a sudden, this faith became my faith. Not mom and dad's, not grandma and grandpa's, this became my faith. But if I hadn't had the foundations built around me at that young, tender age when I could learn, I don't think I would have ever come to that. That's why we're studying this, and that's what I wanted this class to be about. And I can talk about all these things because neither Matt nor Nate are here, so I get to tell you what I thought. And I kind of came up with this idea. Matt sort of found a book that we could kind of follow along, but this is kind of my brainchild, and I'll go ahead and tell you my story since we're there. When I came to Western, right away I went to church. First Sunday night, was the old 12th Street Church of Christ downtown. I was hooked. Man, I'd never seen that many Christians in one place at one time. And I was there every time I was in town, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, meetings, you name it. But all of a sudden, I met some kids through classes and things that didn't believe like I believed. And I think I may have told you guys this story, but if I didn't, I'm going to bore you with it again. The first Wednesday night that was Ash Wednesday, okay, where I grew up, there were no Catholics anywhere around us. And I'll never forget this. The first Wednesday night that they had Ash Wednesday, this guy comes walking into our dorm, and he's got a big spot on his head. And I'm like, dude, got a spot on your head. And the guy that I was with said, it's Ash Wednesday. What does that mean? But some of those guys started questioning us about, why do you guys go to the Church of Christ? Why do you believe in this guy, Christ? And that's what made me sit down with my Bible, and for the first time in my life, I'm not reading and studying to complete a class lesson. I'm reading and studying because I want to know it. I want to have those questions answered for me. And it became my faith. And because those foundations of what I had grown up believing and being taught all of a sudden provided the things we're going to talk about tonight, it did. It became my faith. That's what I want to instill in each of you guys. Some other disadvantages of being at an early age, though, you may want to fit in with other young Christians. Anybody know, and we've all seen this, I can remember one time being in a church group, one guy got baptized, and then that one did, and then the girl over here, and you're like, wow, we've had 7, 8 baptisms here in 30 days. That's wonderful. But sometimes I wonder if maybe that isn't because they want to fit in with their peer group. One of the biggest disadvantages, I think, of obeying is a lack of maturity. We're going to talk more about that in just a second. And then, I'm going to talk about this. Lack of foundations in our faith. We haven't had those properly built after a young age. Talk about why I study about foundations. If you think about it, almost everything that is built requires some type of foundation. I don't care if you're talking about houses, buildings, bridges, dams, roads, driveways, parking lots, even gardens and yards. And I'm going to add one, we're going to talk about it in a second. Swords. Saw that on TV this week. We're going to talk about that. But think about this. In Florida right now, what's happening in the Miami area? Anybody watching the news?
Hurricane.
Okay, hurricane, but right before the hurricane, what happened?
Condo collapse.
That's right. One of those giant condos collapsed. And the last time I saw it, there was 150 missing. They confirmed 36. Y'all may have an updated count on that. Okay, why? What went wrong? When they built it, they didn't build the foundation the way they should. And over time, that thing collapsed. So, okay, we can get all this stuff. What does swords have to do with all this? I was watching this show. I don't know if y'all have ever seen this. Forged in Fire. Anybody ever seen that show? Now, y'all get to make fun of my drawing here. I can't remember. He had a handle on this thing. But the blade of this sword had what he called the foundation. Well, I've never heard of that. What does he mean by the foundation of a sword? And he's talking about this edge right here on either side. And if the foundation doesn't hold up, or if this handle doesn't hold up, that sword is not going to be good for fighting. You know how he held it up? He said, you've got to build the foundation right first. Choose the right metal. Once you've chosen the right metal, then you've got to make it pure. Anybody know how you make a sword pure or metal pure? Fire. You test it in fire. And what happens is the strongest ingredients survive and the weaker elements are weeded out. So all that's left are the strongest. And I think it's kind of funny they have all these competitions where they'll make these swords and then they test them. You know, they stab dummies and They put them in things and try and bend them, and they hit things with it to see if the edge of the sword is going to come off. Guess what? The strongest foundation survived. And I couldn't help but think, wow, that's exactly what we're going to talk about in class. We're going to talk about these foundations that will survive. Anybody ever live in a house that had a bad foundation? When I was an inspector years ago, just gotten out of college, I worked for a lender that sent me out to inspect. And we had this guy that put up this foundation he was going to build on. And our test for that foundation was, not only did we test the materials, but I noticed the guy that, the older fellow that was testing with me, put a block in the middle and ran a string across that middle to this joint. Then he ran across string across this one to that one. If they crossed in exactly the middle, that was a square foundation. Now, why would it be important for him to have a perfectly square foundation?
To properly build up.
That's right. Provide strength. If it's not properly square, it's off. And the more you build up on top of that, the more off it gets. If it's properly square, it's going to stand. It's going to stand the weather and time. We're going to talk about all those things. So what kinds of things does a good foundation provide? Don't laugh at my artwork here. Stability. All right? So we'll talk about that in forms of like buildings and bridges and things like that. Stability. Think that's important? Absolutely. If I'm going to live on the 40th floor of a building, I want to know that the foundation was built right. I don't want to feel that thing rocking in the wind. Strength. Again, if I'm going to live on the second floor, I don't care about the 40th floor, even the second floor. I want it to be strong. I don't want that thing to collapse underneath me in the middle of the night. What about endurance? Absolutely. We want to stand the test of time. And a good foundation on whatever it is going to help with that. Anybody hear about the bridge over in Memphis, over the Mississippi River? 3 weeks ago, I had a guy sitting in my office, and I was asking, what do you do for a living? And he said, I'm a bridge inspector. Well, I watched the nightly news. I knew that they just shut down the Mississippi River, the I-40 bridge that goes over from one state, Tennessee, to the next state. They shut that thing down because they found a crack in it, 1.75 inches wide in the metal underneath that support holding it up. And I said, you wouldn't have to have been on a bridge in Memphis this past week, would you? And he just grinned and said, yes, I was. I said, did you make the call to shut it down? And he said, yes, I did. And he said, I've got about 2 million people in Memphis mad at me right now.
You don't want people from Memphis mad at you.
No, that's exactly what his point was. But his point was that foundation wasn't built right, and it had no strength. It had no endurance, and it cracked. Two interesting points about that affect kind of us. That inspector lives in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Oh, that was kind of cool. Guess where the patch for the bridge is going to be made? Bowling Green, Kentucky. Stuck Bridge Company. And they're going to put a patch in, which they did this last week, to allow the traffic to flow again. Then they're going to take that entire section of support out and put a new section in. Guess where that's going to be made? Bowling Green, Kentucky. So we understand a thing or two about foundations here, don't we? Well, that's kind of neat. Something else, a good foundation. Direction. A good foundation will give us good direction. It starts us off on the right foot. And I threw this in because it does. A good foundation meets the rules. It helps us get off on the right start there. It meets those standards. Well, you could turn that around and say, what happens if I don't have a good foundation? What kind of problems can that cause? Well, it doesn't matter if you're talking about a building, a bridge, even a parking lot, driveway. It'd be unstable, wouldn't it? If the foundation's wrong, it doesn't matter how solidly above it you build, usually it's going to be unstable. It may even be weak. It's going to have a lack of strength. It's not going to have any endurance. It's not going to last. I thought that was kind of an interesting picture there with the flower coming up through the blacktop. Anybody ever have your blacktop driveway at home and you think it's so pretty and all of a sudden a little crack appears in it because the foundation wasn't as solid as it should be? And isn't it weird that the grass, you can seed it, fertilize it, water it, beg it, and you can't get it to grow in your yard, but it'll grow in your blacktop. I've seen it break concrete before and then come through if the foundation wasn't good underneath it. So you gotta have that. I like that one, bad direction. It just starts the project off on the wrong foot, doesn't it? Anybody here ever built a house? Been through that. Don't wanna do that again. But we spent more time when we built on the foundation than we did on anything else except the final finished touches. Because we knew if we don't get this one right, the rest of it can't be right. And I worked on a building crew to help myself through college for a real brief time. And I can remember I was on the nailing crew up on the top of the building from the foundation up. But we had one guy that always cut the lumber because he was the smart guy. He had to make sure that it was right. And he got it right every single time. He was amazing. Well, why on earth would we want the most important guy doing the cutting and measuring and the rest of us just beating nails in? Because this part of it, the foundation, has to be right. If it's not, we can't build on it. We have building codes and things we have to abide by here. If it's not right, if it doesn't meet the standard, we can't build on it. When I was a freshman in college, I read a story in the Daily News here about a man that built his house and he expanded it beyond his plan because he wanted to expand his sunroom. Well, guess where he built it? On his neighbor's line. And then the standard, the people came along that looked at those standards and they said, look, you can't build it. You're actually on your neighbor. And he said, well, I've already built the house. And they, planning and zoning told him, you either have to buy some additional land for your neighbor or you have to tear that down. He had to tear it down and rebuild it and build it right. That's the same thing with any kind of foundation.
Your attempts over here.
Sure.
So what do you guys define as a good foundation? Somebody throw something at me. What's a good foundation? What makes up a good foundation?
Rock.
Rock. What else? Keep going. What makes it?
Hey,
steel.
Steel. Keep going.
Well, are we talking about materials? Or are we talking about?
Here's the engineer.
No, this is a general question. Are we talking about materials? Or are we talking about what makes a good foundation in terms of the term foundation?
I'm getting there. What makes a good foundation as far as like a building? We're there. Rock, steel.
There's
what
layers to it.
Layers to it, right? Do you always see the foundation of something?
No.
So can there be a fault in that foundation that you don't see with the naked eye, right? Sometimes there is, sometimes there's not. But a lot of times foundations are, you build them to be strong and to withstand the pressure of the load, okay? And you've got to calculate how much of that load it can bear before it does crack. And a lot of times you don't even see when it cracks. It just happens. So for us, in this class, we talk about, you know, we're talking about building and structures. We're tying this into your faith, right? There's somebody in this room that just because you're here, it appears that your foundation is solid. But that may not necessarily be true. Remember the story I told you guys about my friends from church camp? How many people still go to church? How many people don't? All right? Pretty staggering statistic, all right? It appears that the foundation is solid. But as the load and the pressures of the world kind of, you know, that you face over the years and you go through the different chapters of life, and there's different things that you let in to that foundation, it weakens. And you've got to go back and you've got to assess that. For anyone to say that their foundation is so strong it can withhold anything is a false statement, I believe. We all have weaknesses in the foundation. It's how well we assess what those weaknesses are and how we handle that. And you guys are going to go through that. Like, you're going through a finding yourself period in college and post-college. And it's, we talked about this on Sunday, like, you should question what you believe and why you believe what you believe. Because by doing so, you're assessing your foundation. And if you never do that, then you never know that there's potential cracks that you need to address, that you've got to seal, or that you've got to strengthen. And the more that you ignore those questions, the more cracks that occur. And the more cracks that occur, your foundation will falter and everything will come tumbling down. So it's super important. Like, when we're talking about this and you go back to this last screen here that Gary had up, you go back and you think about these things, it's not just each one of these things individually as a line item. It's how they relate to one another, how they correspond with one another, and what comprehensively it means for you and your faith. Does that make sense? Y'all see what I'm trying to say? Maybe I did it bad.
You know, you just killed the next six slides, right?
Good. Let's go home. No, I'm joking. No, but I just, those are all excellent points that Gary's making there. And I know I went through a phase, and you guys will hear me talk about this a lot too, and I openly talk about it, where, you know, you got to step back and you got to think to yourself, like, why do I believe what I believe? Mm-hmm. Why? And you cannot adequately explain to other people your faith if you're just telling them that you believe something because your parents told you had to, but that's the way that you grow up. You got to understand that the reason you believe what you believe in is because it's the truth. And when you can speak to that, people feel that, and they understand that, and that's how you influence.
I can tell you, I went through the same thing. Freshman in college, arrived on campus, thought I believed what I believed because I believed what I believed. Pretty soon I'm looking around, and the seven guys that I told you all about Sunday, there were seven of us that were inseparable, five for sure, that went to the Church of Christ. All of a sudden, they're all gone. It's just me and my twin brother. And we're looking around, and finally one day, in tears, we're freshmen in college, in tears, we're sitting on a bed across from each other, Barnes Campbell Hall, saying, "But we can't be friends with these guys anymore. They don't share these foundations." Now, and I was teasing with Nate, but I wasn't, because the very next slide says, how does all this relate to us? That's exactly what I'm talking about. When I was a freshman in college, when I was your age, is when these things started coming in my head. I can't defend this if it's just because mom and dad crammed it down my throat and made me go to church. They didn't, but they did, in a weird sort of way. When it was their choice, I went. We were there. But somewhere along the line, and I can tell you, it was my freshman year in college, all of a sudden, this came to me, and it was mine. And I wanted to start giving answers when some of these guys in the dorm said, "Hey, why do you not drink? What's up with that?" I wanted to be able to tell them why I don't do that. When they were going out on Thursday night, why am I not going out with them? And it was for real. It was for me. Getting back to my slides, because I spent a lot of time on these really cool slides. And I didn't even touch them Sunday, so I've got to get through them tonight. But this came to me. you know, we talked about these things as from a young age and foundations. What do foundations do? But where I'm going with all this is, what does all this have to do with us? It's the same thing. Doesn't matter if it's a bridge, a building, a parking lot, our faith. The similarities are just so easy to see. We talked about these things in relation to a foundation for buildings. Well, is it any different for us and our faith? If we've got a great foundation, a good foundation in our faith, it's going to give us stability, isn't it? How can a good foundation give us stability in our faith? Think about it. How are you going to build your foundation? It's right here. It's right here. You got to know it. You know when this hit me? A preacher held up this Bible one time. He said, test answers right here. You're going to be judged on this. You better know it. And all of a sudden I'm like, ooh, there's the foundation. If I know it, I can not only obey it, I can tell somebody else why I obey it and believe it, and maybe they will too. That is stability. If I get lost, and there are times, and I'll tell you this, if you guys live to be my age, it's a long time off, right, Nate? But if you do, there's going to be times in your life when you are stronger than steel in your faith. There's going to be times in your life when you are weaker than water in your faith. The foundation that we've got to look back to is the Word. We've got to know it. It'll provide the stability when we question ourselves. So, if you don't have a plan every day for reading, please start today. Please. It doesn't take long. Start today.
Gary, you just said something so key. What did he just say about weakness? Somebody yelled out. Prove to me that you're listening. What did he just say about weakness?
Some days will be stronger than steel and weaker than water.
Okay. So is it the days that you're stronger than steel that you should be worried about? Is it easy to be strong? No. I mean, yes, it is easy to be strong when it's, you know, when you're feeling like you're untouchable, like you're not tempted by anything, you're in a good situation, you're by good people, there's no resistance, you feel like there's no temptations that are pulling on you from any directions, right? It's when you become weak. How do you answer to that weakness? How did Eve answer to her weakness? That's why it's so important to have the skill set at your all's age, and really any age, but really at your all's age, to self-assess. Understand what your weaknesses are. Talk to your closest friends. Like, hey, like, talk to me. Like, what do you think I need to get better at? There's nothing wrong with asking that question. What do you think I need to get better at? Do I need to be a better listener? Like, Gary and I have these conversations all the time.
Yes. And can I stop right there? Who should be that circle of best friends? Those that are going to provide you what you need to be stable and strong. People of like, precious faith. I'm sorry, David. I jumped in front of you.
I was just going to say, and you're probably going to mention it, but in Matthew 7, Jesus talks about the kind of foundation to build on and the one not to build on. I will tell you, I can promise you, you're young right now, but you are going to hit moments in your life where you are going to be challenged dramatically. Why did I lose my job? Why is this happening to me, God? Why did my son die? Oh, there's going to be so many things that will challenge you and they will knock you on your back. And that is when, it's what I call, that is when the rubber of faith meets the road of life. And so, remember that. Jesus tells us in a children's song, how to withstand the worst storms in life. He says, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. And what is that? Those who hear his words and act on them. And then those who hear them and do not act on them are like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its crash. I hate to tell you this, but it's going to be very, very hard for you to make it through life and not have the worst challenges you can think of. You're going to have some that you never thought of. And that is why building strong foundation in faith is what will help you. That's what helps you overcome those challenges. That's when you are constantly reminding yourself that God says, I'm always here. Be still and know I'm here. He knows the end. We only see these clips of 24 hours at a time, 60 minutes in an hour. We see them in these short places. God sees to the very end, and that's why he continues to tell us over and over that you continue to obey me, and then you're going to reach your reward. And that's the kind of perspective that we have to develop, and we won't be able to develop it unless we build a strong foundation of faith. Take it, that's advice from an old man. I'm the oldest one in the room. But I'm telling you, life can be very brutal to us. It's not God's fault. We're born into a world that's full of sin. But things are going to happen to us, and we've got to be prepared to remember that God is the one who rewards, and he's the one who will take care of us.
You know, while he was talking, yes, I dye my hair gray just to but I was thinking of this. Why should we listen to it? Well, even the teachers, David, why? You guys are here. Nate's probably in here. Me and David are way down here somewhere.
That's depressing.
I know, isn't it though? We're way down the road. Everything you guys are going to go through, we've already been. We've seen it. Talking from experience, there have been times in my life when I thought I am untouchable. There have been times in my life, how do I get my way out of this? How do I see it? If I didn't have the stability, the strength, and the endurance that Scripture gave me, that I bought, I believe, not good mom and dad, I bought it, I believe it, I stood on it, I wouldn't be here today. And that's, I hope we have time to get to it, because he mentioned a scripture there, and I've got it in three slides ahead. We're going to talk about not only the foundations, but we're going to talk about, do you believe? And I'm going to ask you that question here in a minute. But these are the things that I found out, just like with the buildings. The proper direction. You think Scripture is not going to give you that? Sure. A proper start to our walk. Build those foundations. If you aren't reading, studying daily, do it. Because I'm telling you, the easiest time in your life to study is right now, because you guys are studying all the time. That's what you do. It was way easier for me to study a lesson, even a Bible lesson, when I was in college, high school, than it is now. And I'm old. You'd think I'd know how, but now I do. It's just a lot easier when you're younger. Your mind, you're quicker, you're sharper, you're those kind of things. Real quick, if we don't have a good foundation in our faith, it can cause some problems, and that's kind of what we're talking about here. It's unstable. We can easily fall away. I'm really kind of depressed and upset about something right now. One of the strongest Christian young men that I think I've ever met got married, had some kids, moved away for a few years. He's moved back to Bowling Green. And I found out this kid is no longer a faithful Christian. Not only that, he led his wife and his kids astray. And I can remember this kid rarely spoke to me without quoting scripture. I thought this guy had the best foundation I'd ever seen on a young Christian man. So we have to be careful. We have to believe it. Poor foundation in our faith, no strength. Can't stand against wrong. No endurance. It won't last. No direction. We don't have an idea of where we're going if we don't have the right foundation. How are we going to know it? Again, it's an open book test. The answers are right here. And then two, I like that. A poor start. The odds are against us. Scripture had a lot to say about foundations. Both the Old and New Testaments recognize the importance of a good foundation to anything, especially our faith. Isaiah 28:16 talks about a cornerstone. Do y'all understand in the old days when they built, they'd use stones. He talked about what makes a strong foundation. In those days, stones, that was the hardest thing they could find. Well, when they built their foundation, what stone do you think was the most important? If they're going to start, they're going to build this thing out of stones, they started with one corner, and they made that the cornerstone. The most solid, the best of all the stones became the cornerstone. And they built the rest of the building off of that cornerstone, making sure that that cornerstone was set firm. It got the project off on a good start. Scripture tells us that Christ, a cornerstone is laid in Zion. That's Christ. Wow, if it was important, Scripture thought that was important for me to understand, that's a good lesson there. Matthew 7. Turn, if you would, to Matthew 7. And I want somebody to read that, if you would. Matthew 7, 24 to 29. Anybody got it?
It's 24 through 29.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall.
Keep going. Let's do the next two.
And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes.
Okay. Let's talk about this for just a second. A foundation built on rocks. During that day, Nate kind of spilled the beans on that. Why would they use rocks? It's firm, it's solid, it's hard. Did your dad ever tell you, quit beating your head against the rocks? Well, what do you mean by that? Okay, those rocks are hard. They're not going to give. They're not going to give. That's why in this time they built their house on rocks, if they were wise. What about on sand? Anybody want to build a house on sand? I don't want to build it on sand unless I got rocks down there somewhere or something solid underneath it. And I'll give you a funny story about Kentuckians living in Florida. My daughter called me at 5:30 this morning. Well, she called Mom, but right there too. So, and she said, I tried to drive around a branch that broke off and fell across her driveway because it's raining, you know, the hurricane's going through. And she said, but my car sunk in the yard. Yeah, it did. Because the yard is sand. It's soft. It's going to just sink. Even mud in Kentucky is harder than that. So a hillbilly has learned the lesson. Just don't drive in the yard when you got 6 inches of water in it. It's going to sink. And that's exactly the point. The writer here of Matthew even understood that. How many of you all, when you were kids, you study this in a Bible class, and you're like, yeah, everybody knows that, right? But did you ever think of it in terms of, hey, there's going to be a building built on that rock. And that building, if it's built on that rock, it's not going to fall. And then relating that to our faith, if that rock, that cornerstone, is Christ, we're not going to fall. We're not going to fall. I made myself two promises when I left home to come to college. Number one, I am not going to touch a drop of anything to drink or a drug or anything like that. I'm not going to do that. I promised my mom that. And I meant it. I wasn't going to go back on my word. I meant that. Second, I was going to marry a Christian. Now, why on earth would I think like that? Anybody?
Well, I can see why you think like that, and I don't know how best to broach this because I have a sort of different opinion on that whole matter, and I don't know if that's relevant to what we're going through.
Mm-hmm.
But I would imagine you wanted to marry a Christian so that she could strengthen your faith and vice versa.
Bingo. Because I wasn't real sharp in books. I wasn't. I had got a twin brother. He made a lot better grades than I did. But I like to think I had a little more common sense. And exactly what you just said, I realized that there are some cracks in my faith. If I were to marry someone who was not a strong believer, at times, they're not going to help me with those cracks. Give you another example. This may sound as silly as anything you've ever heard. I play golf with that guy right there. I can't stand him because he beats me all the time. But I do. I play golf with him. Why do I play golf with him and John Whitaker?
John makes us feel better about ourselves.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That is true.
Another point.
Okay. So, beyond that, why would I do that? Even now in my life, why would I do that? Surrounding myself with
other people.
That's right. Other people that
fellow Christians
influence you for good.
That's exactly right. People that if they see a weakness in me, ooh, Gary's got a crack in his foundation right there. That crack could be anything. I mean, it could be swearing, it could be temper, it could be talking about other women I don't have a right to talk about or think about. It could be anything that is contrary to the scripture. I put a lot of faith in this guy. I'm playing golf with him not just to get because I enjoy playing golf with him, but if he spotted this weakness in me, even out there doing what I enjoy doing, he's going to help me seal that up. Firm that up. Hey, Gary, pay attention here, man. I think you've got a problem with this. Right? Hey, okay, come on. At Charles' age, that sounds silly, right? But it's not. You guys are, some of you are still going to classes. Who do you make friends with in that class? You ever thought about that? I'll tell you one story. I took the hardest class on Western's campus at the one time I was there. I had to have it. It was called organic chemistry. If you want to have nightmares, take organic chemistry. And he's laughing because he's had all this stuff. But it was. My twin brother, who made a lot better grades than I did, gave me one piece of advice before I took that class. He said, first day when the bell rings, class is over, he said, you stand up and say, I'm starting a study group right here. Who wants in? And he said, get you four or five people. They'll be the most serious people, and they'll join you. Five people in that class. We set up a regular study for that semester. For our final exam, we studied 100 hours for that final exam. It's a comprehensive final. There were five A's in that class. Guess who those five were? Now, I'm not saying that because I was that smart. My brother was. And he told me, surround yourself with people that can help you with when you don't understand it. These people that want in this study group are the people that are serious about this class.